Week 7 United Football League schedule Saturday. Renegades Showboats 1 Eastern on ESPN. Then the Stallions host the Battle Hawks on Fox. Sunday, ESPN doubleheader. Panthers DC Defenders at noon, followed by the Brahmas and the Roughnecks. Very quickly, before we start a new hour, so this is Zach Edey. He's thrown out the first pitch at the Cubs game. I will tell you that at 15, he was considered one of Canada's top baseball prospects as a pitcher. Well, that surprise anyone watching?
I look like Kerry Wood.
15 years ago?
You just can't try to put that much sauce on it. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? You don't want to bounce it or lob it, especially if you played baseball and you're 7'4", but he just tried to put a little too much on it.
He is presumably in Chicago for the draft lottery, which will be on Sunday. Right? I believe this weekend, so we're looking forward to that. All right, so Zach Edey, good at basketball, maybe not as good at baseball as we thought. As we continue, we're live on Get Up. We're live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. Last night in the NBA, the game's not spectacular, but the drama in the league continues to be thick, and I will get you there in a moment. But first, let me show you the games last night in case you didn't see it. We got Donovan Mitchell in the Cavs. We got Jason Tatum in the Celtics. Game one, round two, Jaylen Brown opened fast.
Yeah, he came out aggressive, got them going, and boy, are they dangerous on a night when Brown and Tatum, you can't tell the difference, but who's their number one option? That's how it looked last night.
Brown had 15 in the first. What a season Derek White is having. He knocks that one down. He would make 7 threes. And then it's Tatum getting the work done as well.
Fadeaway, lean back in the post. Too long right there. That's his sweet spot. He loves that turnaround fadeaway jumper in the mid-post.
10 points at the half. Hey, Monica, how about Jaylen Brown with the two hands right here?
Yeah, this was a big energy play. The Cavs were kind of keeping place at that point in the game, and then the Celtics started to just open this thing up.
Yeah, Boston just a little too much. Maybe a lot too much. Mm-hmm. But to your point, it's a 12-point game at that point, and then here's Donovan Mitchell. He would score 33. They would kind of hang around. But let me show you the final 10 seconds of the third, because here's one of those big turnarounds. It's a 12-point game. If that goes in, it's going to be 9. Instead, we're going back in the other direction. And as I always say, we wouldn't show you this if it didn't go in. Peyton Pritchard. So it's a 15-point game. It's that quick a swing going into the fourth quarter. And that was pretty much all she wrote. 4 minutes to go. This is Tatum plus the foul. Tatum had 18 and 11. Brown had 32. As I mentioned, White had 7 threes, and the Celtics win big. They just are blowing everybody out. This was their 19th win by 25 or more points this season. That is the single season mark now in NBA history, breaking a tie, as you see down there, with like Kareem's Bucks and one of Tim Duncan's best teams. Most ever blowouts of that sort in a season in NBA history. The other game last night, the late game, we're all looking forward to Luka and the Mavs going to OKC, where SGA was dressed for the occasion. But right off the bat, you're going to see Luka Doncic go down, and legs, he never looked right again.
Yeah, very strange play, too. You see Dort's foot sort of come forward as Luka's running by, trips over him, and from that point on, he was limited. We already know he's bothered by that knee, and from this point on, he had no lift.
And listen, Lou Dort, Allen, you were making the point earlier, he is a menace defensively.
Yeah, that's one of the 4 turnovers that he was able to get against Luka Doncic. Luka had 5 turnovers, 4 of them when Dort was guarding him. This is a bad combination. Bad knee and Lou Dort guarding him.
And Luka Doncic just couldn't buy a basket. 1 of 8 from 3 last night, plus 5 turnovers. Then how about, oh, look at Shai. SGA, Thunder, a 15-point lead. Now we're in the fourth quarter. Jalen Williams is really emerging, Tim.
This legitimate co-star right here. And Monica and I have been talking about him a lot this year, and he impressed us. Like, slow start, but man, did he come on in the second half.
And how about this, a little baseline slam for Jalen Williams right there. He had 18. SGA had 29 and 9 assists and 9 rebounds. And the Thunder take game one. And a huge storyline here, the continued struggles of Luka. Shot 13% from 3 last night. He's been historically bad at just over 14% from 3 in his last 4 games. That's actually the worst 3-point percentage in any 4-game span in NBA history. He's not healthy, but they're in big trouble. Okay. Jamal Murray, we all thought he was going to be in big trouble for what happened the other night. It turns out the trouble wasn't as big as we thought it was. It is a $100,000 fine, which is a significant fine for certain. But no suspension for Murray after he threw the towel and then the heating pad in the direction of the official. And, of course, we've all seen it by now, the heating pad winding up out on the floor. during that loss the other night. We were all here, many of us were here yesterday having this conversation. Right off the top of your head, Alan, reaction to him not being suspended?
Not surprised, because it takes a lot in this league to get suspended, clearly, these days, right? So
if you were sitting in the chair, if you're in Adam Silver's chair, would he have been suspended?
Yes, he would have been suspended, because that's a dangerous thing that he did. Throwing that on the floor, the potential for injury. I think if someone did get hurt on that play, he's clearly going to get suspended. But here's something that's interesting, because we talk about two incidents. You saw the towel, then you see the heating pad. It was actually a third incident, and it's interesting that it's a $100,000 fine, because he also did a money gesture towards referee Mark Davis also in this game. And that is, so watch right here. You see it right there. It was very slight. It was very quick that he does it, but he does the money gesture, and his hand gestures towards Mark Davis. $100,000 fine is what he got for this, right? Rudy Gobert did the same exact thing earlier in March. Rudy Gobert's fine was $100,000 for that money sign. And that is something, obviously, as a league, you don't want with all the gambling aspects that we have today. So that's a curious thing. So it is really three incidents, not just two.
What'd you think of it, Legs?
I was shocked. I said it yesterday. I would be shocked if he wasn't suspended. I don't know what more you'd have to do if you're not in the game. You're not actively engaged on the court. What you did, reckless was a great word you used, Greeny. I couldn't agree more. It was reckless, potentially could have been catastrophic for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Because not just rolling your ankle, people might think, oh, you're overstating it. We're not overstating it. It doesn't take much. That thing's raised up off the ground an inch, a little bit more than that. You can roll your ankle on that easily if you're Karl Anthony Towns. Or I think, actually more likely, you step on top of that. It is wet. It is a slippery surface. You slide out. Now you've got a groin injury that potentially hobbles you in this series and potentially limits your ability to win a championship, which a lot of people right now are thinking Minnesota could. So just the thoughtlessness of it all, I thought, would have merited a one-game suspension in this series.
What did you think of it, Monica?
I wasn't surprised that there was no suspension. For me, when Joel Embiid just was flagrant one, when he pulls Mitchell Robinson down by the leg in that series between the Knicks and the Sixers, when nothing happened there, it was like, okay, cool. Tell us that it matters to keep your stars in the playoffs when your eyes are the biggest in a year that you're trying to figure out the next rights deal. And so I wasn't surprised, unfortunately.
Wendy, I give you the stage. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I went looking for a precedent because I really didn't remember one. It turns out there was a moment last year in Miami with Dwayne Dedmon, backup center from the Heat. He knocks over a rack with massage guns on it, and it comes out there all on the court. This is a big, heavy object. The referees see it and immediately throw him out of the game. Referees, in this case, obviously didn't see where it came from. And then the next day, he was suspended for a game. So you'd say, well, doesn't that mean that under the same similar circumstances that Jamal Murray would be suspended? But there's an asterisk. It wasn't the NBA that suspended Dwayne Dedmon. It was the Heat, also because he was having an argument, and what triggered it was an argument with Eric Spoelstra. So if you're a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, you're looking at that and going, wait a minute. Why is that a suspension, and what happened in this playoff game is not a suspension? And the NBA can bring out their lawyer and say, well, that was a team suspension, not a league suspension.
Look, and one was in a regular season and another is in a playoff, and we understand.
One is a star important player, one is a backup center.
All those things. Yeah. And they shouldn't come into, that shouldn't come into account, but of course we know it does, and it's reasonable. Look, everything I say with great respect for Adam Silver and the league office, because they have to make very difficult decisions and they're weighing things that I'm not weighing. But in counter to everything you said, it was a reckless act, which the Dedmon one isn't really. He's smashing something in frustration.
It's a reckless result, though.
It was a reckless result, but this one was premeditated and purposeful. Yes. He did not throw one object. Yes. He threw two objects, and it was doing two things. It was disrespecting the officials to a far greater degree than making a money sign at them would be. He's throwing objects at an official, and then the fact that one of them goes on the floor, so it becomes a player safety issue. I think setting a precedent that this was not a suspensionable act is a bad precedent to set, which is why I'll bring this up again for those of you who are just joining us. This came from a caller to my radio show yesterday. I don't know if it's a great idea, but it's an idea. In 1996, Roberto Alomar, who is now in the Hall of Fame as a baseball player, got thrown out of a baseball game by an umpire named John Hirschbeck. You're going to see it right here. He gets called out on, that's a terrible call, but whatever. It's clearly not a strike. But that's neither here nor there. And then, so he gets thrown out, and he's going to spit right in the face of the umpire right there. This happens right at the end of the regular season. He was suspended 5 games. He appealed it. The suspension was subsequently upheld and applied to the beginning of the following season. Now, it says on there with pay, because the Baseball Players Association is ridiculously powerful, but let's just live in a world where if you're Adam Silver and you're Joe Dumars and you want to send a message, the precedent for this is going to be you get suspended. But these playoff games are so important, so disproportionately important, that we're going to have a $100,000 fine, and then we're going to suspend Jamal Murray for the beginning of next season, a game, two games, whatever you want to make it, with pay. For every single game, he gets paid four times as much money as $100,000. He gets paid $100,000 every quarter of every game of the regular season. That, it feels to me like it would at least be setting a precedent. I know it's not a perfect idea, a precedent that a suspension is attached to this act.
Well, it's more than what happened, clearly, and it's going to cost him more money if you have that kind of suspension based on his per-game salary.
Right.
Here's the problem. You know, three games, let's say, at the start of next year. Three games at the start of the regular season don't come close to adding up to one game in the playoffs down 2-0.
I get that, but we've acknowledged here.
But at least it's
want
more
to suspend. If our goal is not to suspend him for a playoff game, but still to set the precedent that a suspension is attached to this action, then it's an idea. Again, this is a caller to the radio show, a Nick in New York. Thank you for the call. I don't know if it's a good idea, but it is an idea.
So let me, I do want to introduce this to the discussion, because we've talked a lot about if this heating pad towel lands on the foot of a player and a player gets hurt. But what if he had actually made contact with the official?
Right.
Then where are we?
Do you know the answer to that?
I guess we'll find out, because why wouldn't they push the envelope even more?
Mark Davis would have turned around because
he
didn't see it, and he would have seen who threw it, and he would have been ejected.
You know what I thought of yesterday? And again, we're not going to have the video of this because I literally am just thinking of it real time. Do you remember when Robert Horry threw the towel on Danny Ainge's head? Remember that? Yep. And Ainge was his coach, and it was like a hugely disrespectful act, and this was a very big deal. And those of us who have been covering the league forever will remember it. Like, if a player did that to an official, which is sort of like that, like if that towel, if he throws it and it sort of winds up, like that is humiliating.
You can't point at an official.
Right.
You can't even point at an official.
Well, this was a $100,000 fine, to your point.
It's And here's the thing. I was going to ask the same question, Monica, because like, okay, is it different if he hits him in the back or the back of the leg? Obviously, it's not going to hurt him. That doesn't have that kind of weight to do that. But at that point, did he look at it differently? And if the answer to that is yes, now I'm really confused, because now we're just saying it's all based on the result of your actions, not the intent. And that's what's very strange to me when you make these kinds of decisions.
Look, the strangest thing is that the league and Draymond Green agree on player punishment. Something I don't think we've ever believed.
Yeah. Draymond did not believe that a suspension
There's
was
warranted.
There's
maybe never been a starker difference between the way David Stern operated and the way Adam Silver operates, because David Stern suspended guys for multiple game sevens for offenses that were vastly less than this.
Yes. I mean, everyone in New York will remember it with the Knicks, with Patrick Ewing, and that with the brawl in Miami. And then there was the Phoenix, the hip check with Steve
Stoudemire just running down to the...
And that was, I mean, listen, I remember it vividly when people like me were complaining about it on radio shows. David Stern would call you and he would yell at you. and having been on the other side of that, and I say that also greatly respectfully, I loved him. It's a different time now. It's a different era. Things are handled differently, and that is appropriate. That doesn't necessarily mean that we agree with the way they handle this. One way or the other, you can bring earplugs on Friday night, because boy, is Jamal Murray going to hear it when you're doing that game.
And I want to make one last point. The most surprising thing about that entire video of Jamal Murray doing that is that that's almost the same exact heating pad I wore when I played. They haven't improved the technology at all. In an ever-changing world of technology, it's the same heat pack that I used.
That's
really kind of amazing.
Coming out of hot water. No
that's
less,
the first thing I noticed. Right.
That's why you know where it came from.
Maybe that's the smell. That's the smell. He was like, whoa.
Yeah. That was surprising to me.
Coming up, more of this sort of off-court activity. The two-minute report tells us that we were right and we were dead wrong. The very latest from New York ahead of Game 2. And speaking of the Knicks, again, sneaky big and sneaky bad news for New York that suggests there's going to be even more pressure on Jalen Brunson. Plus, everybody, I want you to focus on this. Let's play a game. I want you to pick between two players in these playoffs. Player A has four 30-point games, 55% from the floor, 7 points per game in clutch time. Player B has five 30-point games, 44% from the floor, just over 7 points per game in clutch time. Which player do you want? The answer is next.
Right. We do see the
two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, the much-anticipated two-minute report, everybody's favorite NBA activity, was released yesterday after Game 1 of the Knicks. And there were a lot of questions that were answered. And here, let's just show you the things that were most significant in it. Here's what they found. With 53 seconds left, the referees missed an offensive foul on Dante DiVincenzo. That's the screen that Legs was yelling and screaming about yesterday. A second later, the kicked ball happens in which no one actually kicked the ball. We all knew that one was wrong. Then with 10 seconds left after the refs correctly called a moving screen on Miles Turner, he committed another on a screen he set on Dante DiVincenzo. So they said that the call we all got upset about was the right call. All the other ones were wrong. The two-minute report comes out. We spent a great deal of time in our first hour on this. I don't want to revisit all of that for the purposes of this discussion, but you did bring up one thing to watch for tonight.
Listen, there's going to be more scrutiny, right, and more eyes on screen setting than we've ever seen in an NBA game that we're going to have tonight based on this call being made. And I'm just telling you right now, Brittany, if you're listening, producer, first hour of the show tomorrow, we're going to look at every single screen set of this game. Okay, that's what we're going to do. One by one, Greeny. And it's, by the way, it's a lot more than the 17 screens you said we're going to do. It's about 150.
We're belaboring my miscounting earlier. So there were 142 screens set in the game the other night. So you're telling me our entire A block tomorrow will just be 100.
B block will be the second quarter. C block will be the third quarter. D block. The fourth quarter.
We're going to watch it. Look, I mean, but
then I'm going to carry it over to First Take and the first block of that show. We're going to get into the fourth
all
quarter.
All I know is that Isaiah Hartenstein's first screen of the game had better be perfectly
It's going to be textbook screen setting
you
tonight,
know the
baby.
Whistle's coming.
Like you've never seen.
I'm calling that, if I'm a ref, I'm calling that foul on Hartenstein
right away.
Regardless, he breathes on somebody. You were there yesterday. The Pacers took the high road the first night. What did they do yesterday?
The higher road. They are going anti 76ers. No dossier, no grievance. Tyrese Halliburton actually said, you know what, that was my fault. I took too wide of an angle, and Turner had to stretch out to get the guy.
Okay.
And I said, no, that was not your fault.
Killing him with kindness. Yeah. Get him on your side.
All right, we'll see. In the meantime, one of the topics that's come up in a lot of places, I saw they were talking about it on First Take, I want to show you this blind resume again, and a great job by our staff putting this together, although maybe in the future our silhouettes could be a tad more anonymous. But one way or another, the point is made. Player A on your left there has 4 30-point games, 55% shooting from the floor, and 7 points per game in clutch time. Player B has 5 30-point games on 44% shooting from the floor and just over 7 points per game in clutch time. Those are Anthony Edwards and Jalen Brunson. So the question is, who's having the more remarkable playoff run so far? That was a topic for debate on PTI. Let me hear Shannon Sharp.
What Jalen Brunson is doing is unbelievable. For a guy his size, that's what's the most impressive thing, to get the shots that he's getting. That's not to say Anthony Edwards have not been impressive. He's been extremely impressive, especially having a 2-0 lead on the defending champs. But what Jalen Brunson is doing, the consecutive 40-point games, doing it game in and game out, and when they have to have it, it's Jalen Brunson or bust. I'm going to take Jalen Brunson because he's been sensational.
So let's put the picks up, Cindy, if you can, because we asked every member of our crew here who's had the more sensational, remarkable, special front, of postseason run so far. Wendy, you are all alone with the Ant-Man. Tell me why.
And I was on the opposite side of Shannon in that segment.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Those are offensive stats. There's two ends of the court. Now, I'm not saying that Brunson has played poor defense. Ant is a absolutely dynamic playmaker, takes the top scores. The Knicks scheme to keep Brunson off the other team's top guards. They also tried to save his energy. Mm-hmm. It's not as simple as that. But this is not an easy answer. I was, you know, it was difficult. Also, Brunson is such a high usage player. I mean, I think he's going to get 40 again tonight.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how many shots it takes to get there. Where Ant is, a wing. He does handle the ball some. They're not straight up comparable players.
Right. But. And look, the question is not who would you start a team with. I think everyone would start the team with Anthony Edwards. You have to be insane not to. This is the heir to Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. I think that there is also an element here, and maybe this is starting to dissipate, where Anthony Edwards, we've seen this coming for a while. Jalen Brunson has taken the world by shock, right? Mm-hmm. If you saw this, God bless you. No one else did. The Mavericks certainly didn't see it. He's a second-round pick, so the entire league didn't see it. His $104 million contract, I can tell you, people thought it was greatly overpaying for him. Now it may be the greatest contract in NBA history. So I think there's still a little element of it surprises us how good he is going on.
Yeah, and at full disclosure, right before we came out of break, I changed my answer because I was with you, Wendy. I went with Anthony Edwards for everything you said because I think – he's not only a dynamic offensive player, he's a dynamic defensive player. And if they knock off the defending champs, that takes you to a whole other level. But I changed it because I thought about this. Jalen Brunson is the greatest closer in New York since Mariano Rivera. What he has done in the playoffs, you saw the clutch numbers per game. Overall, though, Minnesota's only played two clutch games. The Knicks have played six of them. They're 5-1, and he has scored 43 points in those clutch minutes. He's plus 16. He has literally been the player that the opposing team, whether it's Nick Nurse or Rick Carlisle, they know we stop that guy, we win. And they couldn't because he gets to where he wants. He is ice water in his veins when he's scoring, whether it's at the free throw line late or when it's getting into the paint.
And that's what Rivera makes him special right now. Was that Rivera was sitting in the front row there.
And Mariano was sitting
and was giving him a standing ovation in the fourth quarter.
So, and I know that the blind resume is a great exercise, but I do think there are other things that you have to look at in this conversation. Carl Anthony Towns has been an all-star in this league. Find me one on the Knicks roster,
right?
And so I just think the proportion of the load, we could get into the weeds on that.
Totally agree. It's a great point. And here's what I was going to say along those lines. There is no other way for the Knicks to operate. They have one way to operate, and he's still successful. If you go look to your point, if you go look at this playoff run so far, I bet you I could go find 15 to 20 possessions, of which if I changed any of the outcome of those possessions, they lose that game. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Brunson is the guy responsible for coming through in those spots. Their entire postseason would look different if he wasn't this good on possessions in which they absolutely had to have
it. So our producer, Brittany, that's our second hour.
Well, I'd rather have that as a segment.
Legs wants every screen in hour number one, and then hour number two. We want every possession that if it had gone the other way, the Knicks would have lost that series against.
By the way, Brittany, I also want slipped screens. I want,
What about rejected screens?
Rejected screens.
Oh, wow.
Listen,
wow.
We're going to be here a while.
Here's Olofsky. He's got to be here with
us. Might only play nine holes tomorrow.
Check out promos like Seeing Green exclusively in the ESPN Bet app as the official sportsbook of ESPN. It's the only place you'll find offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities. And new users can get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download today. What a play. Coming up, back to Big Perk. Sounds off. He thinks the king needs to hand in his crown. Has Perk lost his mind? We'll debate that as we continue.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Bottom of the hour, we are back on Get Up. And Monica, it is time for our favorite feature. It's called Is That McNutt? So here we go. If I said the Celtics are going to sweep the Cavaliers, is that McNuts?
I do not think it is McNuts. I'm going to give it a gentleman's sweep, though. I think the Cavs are going to get one in the series. But the Celtics, to me, are playing with a stronger identity than we've seen in years past when it comes to the postseason. Jalen Brunson played terrific last night. That takes pressure off of Jason Tatum. The emergence of Derek White. And then when you look at what they got from their bench yesterday, they've got guys that are excelling in their roles as role players.
Look, the Celtics dropped one game in that Miami series when the Heat just went crazy from three. For the most part, legs, they're just demolishing everything in their pads. I mean, does it look inevitable? Like, whatever comes up, Knicks, Pacers, can someone play with these guys?
I think that would be a tough, long, physical series. But, you know, Boston's just different. They're so versatile, particularly with their starters. And they're all both end of the floor players. Great balance in their scoring. And the emergence of Jaylen Brown at a level like this offensively and the way Derek White's shooting it, yes, it looks like you're going to see the Boston Celtics in the finals, but I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. A lot of games to win yet.
Meanwhile, let's see if the Sixers are able to make the finals next year. Monica, that's the next one. If I said if the Sixers add Jimmy Butler, they become a legit title contender. Is that McNuts?
It's not McNuts, Greeny, and it's also a little bit annoying because I'm old enough to remember when the Sixers were a legit title contender as currently constructed. And so, yes, you add a guy of the caliber of Jimmy Butler who activates in the postseason, who would be willing or who would be a threat both defensively and offensively, this is a no-brainer. But this team was already pretty good prior to the injuries this year.
Well, our buddy Stephen A. Smith had a different idea for who the Sixers should be adding to try and win a title. Here's what he said.
If I'm Paul George, you should leave. You'll keep more of your money in your pocket. You'll have Tyrese Maxey as a backcourt mate. You'll still have Embiid, even when hobbled the brother good for 30. I would consider that.
So that's the question. You like Paul George or Jimmy Butler in Philadelphia?
Wow, this is a hard one. Jimmy Butler, ultimately, because I think he's more reliable in the postseason. That's what this is all about for Philadelphia. It's not about the regular season. It's about the postseason. And Jimmy Butler has proven to be a more reliable playoff performer and will take a lot of the late game pressure off of Maxey and Embiid.
What do you think of that, Alan?
When Pat Riley is now starting to wonder how available you are to your team and want to get paid, I would be very concerned about Jimmy Butler. You already have an availability issue with Joel Embiid and at least getting into the second round or being healthy or being in shape in playoffs. You add a guy like Jimmy Butler who more recently is a guy that hasn't been as available and will be 36 years old next year. Paul George, also older, but a guy that I think is a better fit there because it allows Tyrese Maxey to emerge as the lead dog there. That has to happen. Butler might not let that happen.
Let me throw this other way of looking at it to you, Wendy. What have we said about the Sixers in this generation? They never go as far as we think they should. What have we said about Jimmy Butler in this generation? He always seems to go deeper into the playoffs than you think he should. I mean, with my own eyes, I saw him take Miami to a 7-game Eastern Conference final 2 years ago and into the NBA Finals a year ago. I get that right now Riles is down on him, and that would be a concern. But that to me, is the fit that I would like.
I'm not so sure I want to pay either of these guys this kind of
this
money
part.
In their mid-30s. Mm. They have a great second star in Tyrese Maxey. I'm not sure that the league is built to have three giant max players now.
Oh, my gosh, Wendy, yes.
They have $60 million in cap space. They can go a lot of different ways. They especially with a guy with availability issues in Embiid. I think there's other ways you can go here beyond these big names.
Well, I don't know. I think that having three stars is the best way to do it. Matt Ishbia told me that. He told me everything is going great in Phoenix, and that's exactly the way you want.
Do you know Daryl Morey to go budget shopping? Do you?
No.
I mean, come on. We know he goes for the stars.
All right, I got one more for you.
They're not in a bad spot, though. That's my whole point.
The Sixers are not
in a bad
spot. You're saying spread the money out. You're saying go out and get a bunch of good players.
They should consider all of their options.
And they most likely will, right? Yeah. So we'll see what they do. Okay, I got one more for you, Monica.
Yes.
And this one you're going to be reacting to an audio. This is like on Jeopardy where they say we got an audio clue for you. So the other day, Big Perk is on First Take, and they're talking about LeBron James, and they're talking about Darvin Ham getting fired in L.A. and whether LeBron deserves some heat for that. And that led our beloved buddy Big Perk to say this.
I hate to say it, but I believe this in my soul right now. I wish LeBron James will retire. The more LeBron James continue to play the game of basketball, the more it's going to hurt his legacy, and the more it's going to continue to hurt his GOAT argument. Because as long as he steps foot on that floor, every single season is going to be expectations of him of winning a championship. And when he don't do that, we're going to be looking at him and saying, well, what happened now?
So, Monica, has Perk gone McNuts? That's my question.
I'm not going to say Perk has gone McNuts. I believe that this argument came from a place of love, and he mentioned it. The context of LeBron James and championship has essentially been synonymous with us for 20 years, right? I do think, though, that what he's doing now actually is adding to his legacy. 25-7-8 at this stage in his career, he still loves to compete. We know that retirement is very personal to these guys when they decide to walk away from the game of basketball. I am not willing to say that the window is completely closed. I think the window's probably closed if he is your best player, your single best player, but I think there's still more to get out of LeBron.
So I agree with that, and I'm going to give a different analogy here, Alan. You mentioned earlier people remember Larry Bird at the end of his career. Those who didn't see him at his best, at the end when the back injuries had really cost him of that. Willie Mays at the end, people will tell you it was a sports tragedy to watch him playing at the very end of his career. My favorite player as a kid, Joe Namath, who had no knees left at the end of his career. But LeBron isn't that. He's so far from that. LeBron James is still one of the best players in the world, and he's going to be 40 years old. To me, that trumps everything as far as this conversation.
And that's why I say, as long as he can play at the level he's playing at, you guys talked about voting for him for all NBA. I mean, he certainly deserves that. So if he's playing at that elite, that high of a level, then there shouldn't be a concern about whether or not he should continue to play. That won't affect his legacy. He's still playing great. The problem is that we as a society, we don't like to see our legends fade. We don't want to see that. We don't want to remember Beer Belly Bird. We don't want to remember Wizards Jordan. We don't want to remember Salt and Pepper Julius Irving. Like, there's a lot of players that we said some generation, part of a generation, only remembers that guy. And can LeBron, would LeBron James ever become that if somewhere along the line, because it's got to happen. Father Time's undefeated. It's going to fall off at some point. And if it does in the midst of a season, that's the concern, is that those clips will be remembered by those who tell the stories when we're all gone.
25 points a night, you guys, and then down to 12 or 15 and a central role player. There's a whole margin of what LeBron could be in position to still win on a team. It's just a matter of what he wants.
Key point.
Right.
It's a matter of judge LeBron on winning.
Well, wait a minute. I want you to close your eyes and think about next January. It's 82 degrees in L.A. LeBron leaves his mansion in Brentwood, gets into his $200,000 Ferrari, drives down where he has his son bring donuts to the practice.
Second round pick, Bronny James.
You think that he's going, man, my legacy might take a hit.
That's true.
My legacy might take a hit. I don't know. You know what? Where's my $50 million paycheck while I'm at it?
And let me also defer legs to you, who had your career shortened to some degree by injury. I know you because you and I have had this conversation. You would have given anything to play another year, another 2 years, another 3 years if you could. Guys want to play, right? Men and women. People want to play as long as they can. As long as he can continue playing, he's got the rest of his life to worry about the rest of his life. If he can still play at the highest level, I can't imagine he's not going to want to continue playing.
Friday night, I will be courtside in Minneapolis, and I will have a uniform on under my suit just in case somebody needs something. I can go to the corner and knock down a three still, to your point. I don't ever question a person's when they should retire or hang it up, because it's irrevocable, right? You're not. That's it. That's it. And this has been your life, number one. Secondly, to all of our point, the way the guy looks, the way he looks. There are nights he still looks like the best athlete on the court. Forget about like best player. That just defies logic. And for me, I'm looking at this more as a pat on the back. Man, oh man, we've never seen it. We may never see it again. And here's the great thing about LeBron. He hasn't really had a change of style yet, but guess what? If he wanted to, by the way, and he had more talent around him and he was actually on a team that could compete for a championship, he could dial it down and be an 18-point guy and lead the league in assists if that's what he chose to do because of his IQ and his passing ability alone.
By the way, Graziano just texted you and me, Wendy, you cannot convince me that LeBron James eats donuts. So for the record,
I don't know.
He's not playing at 39.
Well, he just makes his son go get him. He's not going to eat him.
Okay, those would be for the other guys. Okay, we got all that. Meantime, here in New York, the Madison Square Garden is the epicenter of the universe right now because you got the Knicks going and you got the Rangers going. Last night, Rangers Hurricanes, game two, second round. We're 14 minutes left in the game. Rangers on a power play, and it's Chris Kreider. His 43rd career playoff goal that extends his franchise record. It's on the power play, and it ties the game at 3. So to overtime we would go. We're 13 minutes left in the OT, still tied at 3. Sebastian Aho circling the net, and watch Shesterkin swallow this up. 54 staves for Shesterkin, tied for the third most in Rangers postseason history. We're in the second overtime now. Rangers on the power play. And your hero is Vincent Trocheck. He's right there on the second opportunity after the first try is blocked. He has scored in 5 straight games. That is tied for the longest postseason goal streak in Rangers history. They take it 4-3 in 2 overtimes to take a 2-0 series lead. And the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs continue tonight. Doubleheader on ESPN. Bruins-Panthers game 2 at 7:30, followed by game 1 Oilers and Canucks. Coverage starts with The Point, 6 Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN+. All right, New York's other team. Does Jalen Brunson need to score 40 again tonight for the Knicks to win? What do we expect game 2 at the Garden? We will see our picks coming up next. But first, all right, it's group trivia. It's everyone against Hembo. Everyone is involved, and it's a great question. Jalen Brunson scored 43 points in game 1. Which player averaged the most points against Indiana in a single playoff series?
I'm answer. Calling Graziano.
Answer is next.
Yeah, I know. How does he know everything?
Graziano, help him out. All right, if you listen to our radio show, you know that we do group trivia. Everyone gets involved, and so here we go. Hembo's taking on all comers. Jalen Brunson scored 43 points in game 1 of this series against the Pacers. Who averaged the most points against Indiana in any playoff series of all time?
Well, we all were bouncing some names around. We all, I think, have a different answer, actually. I'm going with Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade is on the board. Alan Hahn.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan is on the board. Monica.
I don't have an answer. I don't know why I'm in this.
Okay, fair enough.
Wendy. I have LeBron 2011.
You can't cop out.
You said, which one?
2011.
LeBron?
Yeah.
This is terrible news. Hembo is going to be impossible to deal with. You're all wrong.
This is the answer.
Show the answer. Go ahead. Put it up.
Wow.
Wait, what did I say?
Shaquille
say?
O'Neal in the finals.
In the finals.
38's a lot of points.
And it wasn't that close.
Oh.
LeBron had 2 series, 18 and 17. 2018, 2017, he averaged 34 and 32. Dominique Wilkins made the list, Michael Jordan.
Oh. Okay.
Look at Hembo. Oh, God. Don't take that shot.
Again. Again.
I was going to say.
Again, the smart guy with the sheets. Solar flares. We were looking for solar flares.
Alex Trebek. This is the answer ahead of time. Someone has to know.
Alex Trebek.
Okay,
like the disdain in his voice is not necessarily
unbelievable.
I hosted a game show once. It was called Duel. We called it that because the only two people who ever watched it shot each other. Okay, let's go on. Where are we now? All right, time for a Pacers-Knicks edition of Legs for 3. Legs, what are 3 things you're watching for in tonight's game, starting with Jalen Brunson?
Yeah, look, I think you're going to have less time with Nembhard on him, more time with Nesmith, and also selectively pick take opportunities where you can get the ball out of his hands and then deny the basketball back to him. I'm making it sound simple. I know it's not, but you cannot allow him to operate in as many one-on-one situations against Nembhard as you did in game one. If you do that, he's going to get 35 to 45 every game in this series, and we'll have a new answer to that trivia question.
Fair enough. How about the Pacers' big star?
Yeah, he was just not aggressive. I thought there was a number of times he just did not pull the trigger on his jump shot. I know he's bothered a little bit with an injury. He has to be significantly better. He was basically a no-show, and if he's not aggressive and early in this game and they see that again, Rick Carlisle, you can see T.J. McConnell out there even more than you did because he gave them an enormous spark.
And who else needs to do more for the Pacers to get game two?
Well, Pascal Siakam, he had a nice game. That's not going to be good enough in this series. They brought you in for a reason. He was sensational at the start of the Milwaukee series with a couple of 30-point games. He's been a lot quieter offensively since. I do think he's got matchup situations he can take advantage of in this series, but he's got to be more aggressive and he's got to get to the line a little bit more. Good is not going to be good enough in this series to beat the Knicks.
All right, well, the good news for the Pacers, I guess, bad news, sneaky, very bad news for the Knicks, is that Mitchell Robinson is likely done now for the rest of the playoffs. He has a stress injury to his left ankle. He played 12 minutes in game one. He had surgery on that ankle in December, missed 50 games, and he hasn't looked the same since the Embiid play, candidly dirty play by Joel Embiid in game three of that series against the Sixers. I've got the radio voice of the New York Knicks, Monica McNutt, and Alan, who works for MSG. You guys know that team as well as anybody. How significant is the loss of Mitchell Robinson?
This is a big deal. I mean, this is a rotation that's already been down to 7, and I thought Mitchell Robinson did a great job powering through that ankle injury to get back to this point. He played Joel Embiid tough and was important at points in that last series. The silver lining, if I had to find one, is I do think that Precious Achiuwa matches up with the Indiana Pacers well. But how many hits can this Knicks team continue to take?
3 starters now, right? 3 front court starters out with Bojan Bogdanović, also not a starter, but a front court player that they rely on. The Knicks rely on rebounding because they're not a great shooting team. They're the best offensive rebounding team in the league. And he was, before his injury early in the season, was the best offensive rebounding center in the league. So they are missing a key element of what makes them a really good and competitive team that you cannot replace no matter who it is in the lineup. That's going to hurt them.
So let's put the picks up on the screen. Again, Windy not making picks with us as he is covering the series for ESPN. But let me come to you with this question, having been there at practice and everything else. What do you think is the single most important factor that will decide tonight?
I think Halliburton has got to be way more involved. Also, they want to be a little bit more efficient with Brunson. Don't put him on the line. 14 free throws, not acceptable for them. Look for them to give Brunson a little bit more space, not bite on some of the stuff.
Legs, you're the only one with a Pacer logo under your name.
Because I liked so much of what they were able to accomplish in that first game. They had a checklist of items, and at the top of that list was get a pace to our liking. And absolutely, that game was played at a pace they like. And offensive rebounding. This is a weak defensive rebounding team. It's a strength of the Knicks. It was a massive factor in the Philadelphia series. Really wasn't a factor in this game. A little bit in the second half, but 8 total for the game. All right, the Sixers would have loved to have that number against them. So I think the Pacers did some things really well, and they've got to feel pretty good about their chances that they got that into a one-possession game with a chance to win it. They've got to just do a much better job with whatever you're going to throw at Jalen Brunson. That, to me, is going to be the series for the Pacers.
Yeah, I would have thought, Monica, going in, and again, with all of your research and preparation for the series, 118-117 favors Indiana. I know the Knicks won by that score. That pace, to Legler's point, does seem as though it would favor the
Indiana. So the question that I presented to our guys as we were preparing for this game is I bought that the Knicks could muster up enough offense to keep up with that pace. I was not sold that the Pacers' defense could play tough enough at the playoff level. And ultimately, late in the ballgame, for 44 minutes of that game, the Pacers were better. There were times where this Knicks team looked more exhausted than I think I saw at any point in the Sixers series. But when it came late, Jalen Brunson, a guy that's averaging 7.2 points per game in the clutch, and he was able to show up. And so to me, tonight, I think it slows a little bit.
Well, Monica just brought up the key word, and that is tired. Alan, for those who are not following this closely, you just mentioned how shallow the Knicks bench is, and they've lost another piece. They only got 3 points off the bench the other night. The Pacers got, what, 46 points off the bench. And these are every other day, these games, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. That has to favor Indiana.
It does, and that's why you have to watch the few players who do come off the bench, which includes Miles McBride, Deuce McBride, who has played very well in the playoffs. This is his first real experience. He was completely outplayed by T.J. McConnell. You mentioned it, and I think the pressure on Rick Carlisle will be if Halliburton's not playing well in this game like he was in game one, I thought the biggest thing that happened in game one was when McConnell went to the bench. That was a relief for the Knicks because he was shredding their defense and he was right in Jalen Brunson's grill, 94 feet, which was going to wear down Brunson. He left the game. That was a relief. Rick Carlisle might have to make a tough decision late in this game.
And I know this could be a one-off. Jalen Brunson was only 2 of 9 when he was being guarded by McConnell. So we're talking about Nesmith or Nembhard. If they get in trouble with Brunson, I can't believe I'm saying it, they may go with McConnell because he applies pressure that these other guys not don't.
I want to be clear with Legler here. And again, I'm picking the Knicks because all the people who walk up to me in the street and yell, go Jets to me, this week are all yelling, go Knicks. And I don't want to have to respond with, yes, like I picked against you tonight. So that's the honest truth behind my pick because I agree with Monica. I thought almost everything in game one went well Indiana's played. Way. Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, we'll worry about this when we get there. Schedule release next week. But anyway, does this mean you like the Pacers to win the series? You're picking them tonight.
I picked the Knicks to win the series in 7 games.
And that stays?
Yeah, absolutely. It still stays. But look, if the Pacers go down 2-0, it's not like I'm saying I don't think they can go win 2 games at home. I think they can. I think this is going to be a long series because I've been impressed with Indiana for months. And I thought it was the one team we were not giving enough attention to, even after the in-season tournament when they got a lot of hype during that run and Haliburton had this meteoric rise. We stopped talking about them after that. I kept watching them and watching on a nightly basis how difficult it is to prepare for that level of pressure and that surge up the floor defensively. And it's a massive adjustment. It's hard to do it on the fly.
Also, they went down 1-0 against the Bucks, came back in one game two. I know no Giannis, came back in one game two. And Haliburton didn't have a good game one, came back and had a good game two. They've been here before.
Do you like the Pacers with me? Thanks, Winnie. Appreciate that.
No picks. No picks for the win, man.
From the basketball standpoint, Legs, I totally get where you are. But something about the grit of this Knicks team just continues to stand out.
They continue to win games you don't expect them to win. We'll see what happens tonight. Then tomorrow night we get the games. They're back on ESPN. A playoff doubleheader. We got the Cavs taking on Jason Tatum and the Celtics at 7. Then the Mavs taking on the Thunder. Those are both game twos. Our countdown crew tips off the coverage at 6:30 Eastern. Coming up, First Take, top of the hour. Did Jamal Murray deserve a suspension? Are the Wolves now the favorites to win the championship? Answers to those and other questions with Molly, Stephen A., Mad Dog, Monica, and Legs. Top of the hour. Get Up is brought to you by Nationwide. About 30 seconds from First Take taking over. It's been these late night games, early mornings. Everyone getting a nap today? What time's our nap today?
1:30, 2 o'clock ish will start for me.
1 o'clock on Bart.
Okay, got you. Yes.
Then you can take your nap. That's most important.
You can see me twice on the 2 o'clock Sports Center. No nap.
And then 12:30 on Barton Hunt, I think, Wendy.
There you go. Wow.
Load it up.
Look at a balanced show.
Greeny, you can call whenever you want.
No, I got 12:05 on the first tee, so I'm all set. Don't worry about me. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.